I'm joined today in Studio One by Peter Gilmore, who's standing for Douglas East. Mr. Gilmore, why do you want to be an MHK?
Well, I'm a Manxman. I'm one of four generations born living on the Isle of Man. I followed Manx politics closely for some years. I have my own career. I'm an analyst, project manager, and IT engineer, data engineering and data science. The last two elections, I've helped other people who were standing and kind of held the same beliefs I had. This time there aren't any, so I've decided I'm going for it myself this time.
So you haven't stood to be a politician before. You say you've been supporting people previously. Why do you want to be in the House of Keys? Why have you sort of decided to go straight there and not look at maybe a local authority to start with?
Well, I think the age I am now and the problems we're facing, I think my skill set is more suited to the House of Keys. I mean, as an analyst and a project manager, most of my career is spent joining up processes, systems and information. And I think there's a massive skills shortage of that in Tynwald at the moment. They talk about things like setting Manx Care up, which is great, you know, we're all for that. But they've set Manx Care up, and underneath that, there are no processes, systems and information being joined yet. That all has to happen as part of the programme. And I think that applies to the wider areas of government, such as housing and things like that, where we have to join up those processes and flows of information.
So what do you mean when you say you're an analyst? What do you actually do?
Well, an analyst looks at complex information and creates simpler pictures from it. Same with process engineering. You look at processes, how they work through an organisation, how you can join them up. You can even, I've even worked on the likes of activity-based costing projects, etc. So you kind of get a feel for all of the processes in an organisation, and then you can see where they are across. For example, in government, housing is across several of the government departments. And to join that up, you have to create that flow, you know, to present as a solution, as a policy solution about how you're going to join that up.
So why are you standing in Douglas East?
Well, I live in town. I've worked for the last 5 years for a large company with 400 people, 15 different nationalities. I like living in town. Douglas East is the business centre of the Isle of Man. It's the gateway to the Isle of Man, as everybody says and knows. And I think that that's the best constituency that for me.
You don't live in Douglas East, though, I don't think.
I'm just kind of like 200 or 300 yards away. I live by the railway station in Douglas at the moment.
Right. OK, thank you very much. And so why are you standing independently? You don't see that you affiliate with any of the political parties over here?
No, I don't. I think the danger of these political parties is sometimes they're a little bit too left-wing. We don't have that many political parties, only Liberal, Vannon and Labour. I'm a little bit worried about this rise in Labour in, for instance, Douglas Borough Council, because I think with the reduction in councillors from 18 down to 12, that could be quite costly if we don't build closer ties between government and Borough Council, for instance.
So where would you say you lean politically?
I'm pretty much in the centre. I wouldn't say I belong to any party, or would sit under any party. I kind of think some of my ideas are a bit of both. So, for instance, I'm quite firm on cutting government costs, whereas I'm quite firm on improving social care, and that's the health and social care, that kind of aspect of things. So I pick the best bits, really, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, one of your main priorities, you told Manx Radio, is local and national government reform. It's come up a little bit already. Let's start with local then. What reform do you want to see?
Ideally, but there's been no appetite from it from the current batch of politicians, is local government reform. I'd like to see the local authorities into four main groups: north, south, east and west. But my main areas of government reform are making government smaller itself.
Right, well, let's stick locally for now. Why would you like four areas rather than separating Douglas off, which is the other argument people have suggested. Why would you stick to north, south, east and west?
Well, you've got to start somewhere. There's been, I think, 12 reports or attempts to do local authority reform over the years since the wartime, etc. I don't mind what the solution is, provided that in the centre there are shared, efficient, economic and effective services. So we're not paying two or three times across the island, you know, to have, say, bins emptied, and then there's another service that provides that. You know, there's ways to cut costs by sharing those resources. So however it's done, I've actually thought maybe, because Douglas is so big, you know, maybe it should be north, south, east, west and middle or something like that, because there's like 30-odd thousand people live in Douglas.
So do you think Douglas should be its own area or not?
Well, it's big enough to be, so it would have to be, really. You know, with 85,000 people on the island, 30,000 in Douglas, it kind of already is.
So what do you think? Would this lead to people having less local representation in politics?
No, I would hope it would lead to more, because there'd be a lot more services devolved to government, there's the local government, so people would have a much more focal contact for dealing with local problems, local benefits, local infrastructure, that kind of thing. You know, and the central government should devolve far more services to those local areas.
And so how would you achieve this if you got into the House of Keys?
Well, you can only achieve it with teamwork. I think the best thing to do is to look at what the best models were. I mean, I'm not coming in with a set idea of a particular solution. What I would like to see, and what I think a lot of people on the Isle of Man would like to see, is resources shared more efficiently, more effectively, more economically, more with simplistic regulation around simplified services.
So how do we sort this out? Are you suggesting we have another committee report on this?
Well, we have to decide a formal route, but I think there's enough information already available, you know, in various reports. I mean, Timbald has been a very good talking shop in the past. And I mean, this is where I'm trying to come in here, because, you know, joining up these processes and systems and information, that's part of what we need to do to actually enact a lot of these reports. They're full of good ideas. But yes, we'd have to, if it's a new parliament in Timbald, we have to agree what the approach would be. So there'd at least have to be debate about it and put something formally to vote on.
Right, so national government reform now. And what would you like to see there?
I'd like to see government costing less money. It's too big. I think it's overmanaged. In the last 5 years, for instance, the number of staff have gone up by 6%. In the last 5 years, the wages and salary bill has gone up from something like 307 million to 421 million. That's a 25% increase.
Where do these figures come from?
Budget.
Okay.
I think it's page 26 or 27. As I say, I do read these things, and also the public sector pensions reserve has run out now. So, you know, it's all very well people saying, "Oh, I don't mind one pence on income tax to help climate change or add to health." Well, actually, public sector pension cost next year to the taxpayer is going to be around £21 million, which is 11% of the income tax we currently collect. And then the year after that, it's going to be 22% of what we currently collect.
So what would you do to reduce the cost of government?
I think, well, I've worked on projects before. I worked on a project for the DOI, DTI, the Department of Trade and Industry in the UK. And we did a management reduction programme across like 200 people, and it saved £8 million a year. So I think we have to look at the current structures we've got, the management layers and levels that are in there. We need to join up some of these processes. For instance, housing. Housing is, you know, when you take into account social housing all the way to sheltered accommodation and nursing care, that is all housing, you know, however you want to call it. There's a long process there. How many people are we giving information to each time when we want to do something about housing? There's something like 600 people pushing data around in the government, and a lot of duplication. So we have to look at the duplication, we have to look at the management, and you know, and most certainly we have to look at the costs of government. That's if the Ardman government are bringing in a total of £1,300 million, and now the government wages and salary bill alone is over £400 million. What's it going to be like in another 5 years? You know, that's my worry.
So obviously we've had the pandemic, and the government has started to borrow money. Do you support that move?
I can see the logic of it, because it's cheap to borrow money, but I hope that it's not a start of a bad path like the UK has gone down. You know, I mean, even though that money has been borrowed, it's been put into reserves effectively. I'm worried about what they borrowed for two reasons, mainly. One for the steam packet, and the second for Manx Utilities. So that leaves £60 million extra they've borrowed, and that's kind of, where's that going to go? Is that just going to be used to pay off pensions and things? Because if you actually look at the amount of money in the reserves, more than half of it is tied up in the NI fund. You know, there's a risk now. We've got inflation rising. We've been hearing that recently. You guys have reported on it in terms of building supplies, etc. You know, for capital projects, the costs are going up. We've got to worry about inflation, and other global market problems are going to next year start to affect the value of the reserve. So we need to be careful. But overall, yes, I am a little bit worried about it, but I'm more worried about the extra bit they've borrowed and what they're going to do with that.
So if government is costing too much money, you're saying they're spending too much on this, it could be reduced. Is the other option surely is to borrow money, and so that burden is not being placed onto the public?
Well, if you borrow money, you are placing that burden on the public, and you're not just placing it on the public, you're placing it on your children and your grandchildren. I mean, I have, you know, as I say, four generations here. The current loan they were talking about is going to be paid off up to 40 years. So my eight-year-old grandson will be approaching my age then, you know?
Right.
So, no, I don't think it's fair to burden our... We should be paying for what we can afford to pay, and we need to cut our cloth accordingly, and we need to reduce the size of the wages and salaries bill. That means, or at least keep it where it is, say, at the moment, because we've got a lot of things to pay for. We've got Manx care. Healthcare is the biggest chunk of money that we have to pay out for. And if we're creating new systems, we're moving people around, we're already employing, thankfully, more mental health experts, psychiatrists, etc. But there's going to be a lot more changes like that that will need funding. So, you know.
Yeah, so we keep seeing year after year now, Noble's Hospital is spending more money than it's given. We have this debate year on year. Is it an overspend? Is it an underfund? Are you saying that it wouldn't overspend if there were structural changes? Is that what you put the problem down to?
Well, Manx Care have already got a remit as part of their setup to save 1%. That's what their target is, and there are lots of ways of saving money. If you actually look at the report on the health and social care system, they identify that we're paying like 33% more for drugs. We're paying far more for staff. You know, a lot of people, you know, anecdotally and from people I've spoken to, there are too many managers. We need to reduce the management structures. If we reduce management structures, we can empower people who are needed, wanting to be promoted and who are capable. And those at the top can take a little bit more responsibility. I'm talking about taking a lot of middle management out, not frontline workers whatsoever. We should be focusing on frontline and you know, reducing management and bureaucracy.
So do you think the hospital is overspending or underfunded?
I think it's both, because they're overspending according to the Health and Social Care Review on drugs and some staff, and they're underspending because we need to deliver more services. There's 10,000 appointments in the backlog at the moment, and Manx Care have started addressing that recently, you know, by setting up agreements for appointments for across. So it is both, you know.
Right. Climate change is another thing you've told us that you're interested in. What do you think of the current situation and the outgoing administration's approach to the climate crisis?
Well, I think they put together a lot of documentation and a nice wish list, but I think it's far more complex than that. I mean, the people I talk to, climate change opinions vary from deniers, which there are not many of these days, to those people who say it's a local problem and we must spend hundreds of millions of pounds to reduce our climate emissions, our emissions.
So where do you stand on that scale?
Well, where I stand, what I'd like to see is people recognise this as a global target. There are quite a few quick wins we can do on the Isle of Man in the next 5 years, never mind 2030. We're in control of our own waters, 12-mile limit, and our own land, so we can already make start on extending the number of sites of scientific interest. We can extend some of the protected areas of the sea, where, for instance, we can grow seagrass. That absorbs carbon. What I'd like to see is a graph or a chart, if you like, about how much carbon we've actually saved. Just to say, I mean, I can talk a long time on this if you want, but I think we have to use our natural resources. But the problem is you've got to face reality that the power station is going to last till 2050. So we kind of need a program of not running that as often as we build up our offshore wind, etc.
So when do you think we should be aiming for net zero carbon emissions?
Well, net zero, it depends how you measure net zero, because I'll give you another example of a cost-effective climate change. Norway have paid the country of Gabon around £170 million to guard forests. Now, we have an international development fund. For £2 million, we could guard for 10 years, five times the amount of rainforest that absorbs the equivalent of our emissions. So I think what we need to do is we need cost-effective solutions that balance between reducing our own emissions and also working towards the global targets.
Right.
Because it is a global effect. There's local effects on our marine environment and on our land, but you know, in terms of global effects, what we might spend £500 million on can be undone in 1 year. So we have to look at both areas.
So what's the point then if what we're doing on the Isle of Man is so insignificant that one move by Russia or China could undo all of it? Why do we bother?
Well, you're putting words in my mouth, because we do have a duty to bother. We have natural resources we have that we should be using. You know, a lot of people won't want wind farms on land, and we can see wind farms off Douglas Head, but they're not even in our waters yet. So we should be using our natural reserves. We should be insulating homes and reducing it, not just for climate change, but to reduce people's own costs as well. So I'm saying we have a duty to do both. But if you're looking for quick wins, you know, in terms of our impact on the global climate, there are more ways to skin a cat than just, you know, starting a £100 million insulation program.
We are into our final minute, Mr. Gilmore. Thank you so much for chatting to us today. Just tell me then, round up in under a minute, why should the people of Douglas East vote for you?
Okay. Why I'm standing, I what I want to see is a reduction in government finances, a reduction in managerial staffing numbers within government. I want to kind of freeze the costs for that. One of the major things I think I'd be good at addressing is the skills shortage. We have a problem at the moment. We can't afford to bring new workers in because they can't afford to live here because house prices are going up, which brings me on to affordable housing. We need a whole new approach to affordable housing. It's not just social housing and first-time buyer housing. We need maybe a moratorium at the moment to stop people from outside for, say, a period of 3 months when a house comes up for sale, that it should be sold to a local first, that kind of idea. And above all, we need effective and cost-effective climate change solutions.
Okay, Mr. Gilmore, thank you very much for chatting to us today.